Thank you very much, boys and girls, for singing and doing those Bible readings.
That was really, really good, and I really enjoyed your singing. It was great to hear you singing out for doing those Bible readings. And special thanks to William as well for leading the service. And it's good, boys and girls, when you're young, to serve the Lord and to do something for the Lord. And the Lord will bless you, and the Lord will use you for His honour and for His glory. You can take a wee rest now in the rest of the meeting. I'm going to try to speak, for my voice is almost gone, but hopefully it'll hold out for the meeting this morning. But we want just to read one verse of Scripture with you all this morning. And it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we're reading today from the verse number 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We just want to read one verse, and it's the verse number 15 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Here Paul is writing to Timothy, who was a young man, a young Christian, and he writes to him some tremendous words in this verse. And I want just to share that verse with you all today. It says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And in particular, I want us to think upon that little phrase in the middle of the verse, where it says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." With God's word before us, I want you all just to bow together. A wee word of prayer will not be too long this morning, for it is prize giving also. But we just want to ask God's blessing upon our time as we think of God's word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us this morning. We thank Thee for helping all the boys and girls and the young folk of our Sunday school, and for the messages that they've brought and song, the Bible readings, for leading and for the poem that all have focused our hearts and our minds upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the one who came into the world to save sinners. And Lord, we pray that Thou will just bless us now as we continue on in Thy presence. Still every heart before Thee. Open up every heart from the youngest to the oldest to hear what God the Lord would say. And Lord, our prayer would be that even in this service this morning, as we think of Christmas and think of giving gifts, that there'll be those who will receive the greatest of all gifts, that of knowing and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and having their sins forgiven, and knowing God's salvation in their heart and life. Bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask, giving Thee thanks for all of Thy love and mercy. Amen and amen. Now, boys and girls, I'm sure we all like Christmas. Christmas is a wonderful time of year. And we all like giving gifts. It's good to give gifts to others. And I'm sure we all like receiving gifts. Is there any boy and girl here doesn't like receiving gifts? I would say not. I would say you all like receiving gifts. And I'm sure it's the same with the older people as well in our service today. But you know, the greatest thing about Christmas is this. At this time of the year, we remember especially the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. We remember the birth of the Lord Jesus. And we have read this verse with you this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 15. And it tells us about this great truth, this great fact of history, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Not a wonderful verse. Tells you and I, boys and girls, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about His birth, and about the purpose of His coming to this world. What was it? It was to save sinners, like you and I, in this meeting this morning. Now, as we think about that, boys and girls, I've got four questions I want to ask you today. Not just the boys and girls, but the mums and dads as well. I want you to think about these questions. They're very important questions, because they're all about this great reality, this great fact of history, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Now your first question is this: who can spell this word? Yes, is it Ben? Luke, you spell it out for me. What's that word there? Say any of the older ones like to help them? Aaliyah? Where? Spelled just W-H-E-R-E. That's the question I want you to think about. And the question is this, boys and girls and young folk and mums and dads. Where was the Lord Jesus Christ before he was born in Bethlehem? I want you to think about that question. Where was the Lord Jesus Christ before he was born in Bethlehem? If you know, boys and girls, you young folk, I want you to put up your hand. If you know where the Lord Jesus Christ was before he was born in Bethlehem. Anna? Tell me. Shout it out. In heaven. He was in heaven. That is right. Boys and girls, that is right. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ was before he was born in Bethlehem. He was in heaven. You see, heaven, boys and girls, was his home. You think about that. Heaven was the home of the Lord Jesus Christ before he was born in Bethlehem. The Bible tells us before the earth was made, Christ was there. There was no beginning with Christ. He always was, and he always will be. You see, he is the eternal Son of God. And this is what the Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 1. Just you listen. Will I read it to you? It speaks about him being the Word. That's another title for the Lord Jesus. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, the same was in the beginning, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And that reminds us that the Lord Jesus is eternal, that he was in heaven before he was born in Bethlehem, and that he made the worlds by such as his might and power. But boys and girls, remember this. Lord Jesus Christ was in heaven before he was born in Bethlehem. I wonder, young folk, mums and dads, boys and girls, have you ever thought what heaven has like? Have you ever thought what heaven must be like? What kind of a place is heaven? Well, if you want to find the answer about heaven, what kind of a place it is, you've got to go to the Bible. You've got to read the Word of God. God's book is a wonderful book, and it tells you and I all about heaven. You know what the Bible tells us about heaven? Listen, it says heaven is a holy place. Think about that. The psalmist David was speaking about heaven in one of the psalms, and this is what he said about God. He said, he will hear from heaven his holy place. That means there's no sin in heaven. There never has been sin in heaven, and no sin will ever be allowed into God's heaven. Isn't that wonderful? This earth is full of sin, but there is no sin, not one single sin in heaven. The Bible also tells us that heaven is a beautiful place. We all like things that are beautiful. Will there be no place more beautiful than heaven? Heaven is the most beautiful of all places. The Bible tells us, and the street of the city was pure gold. It says in heaven there is a pure river of water of life, and there is a tree of life, and there's no darkness in heaven. And all those things, boys and girls and mums and dads, tell us about the beauty of heaven. How beautiful is heaven? Something else special about heaven, we're told, heaven will be a joyful place. It will be a place of everlasting joy. Imagine that. It is a place where joy will never cease. It's a place where joy will never come to an end. You see, in the Bible, boys and girls, we read this, that in heaven there are no tears. Imagine that. No crying. There is no sickness in heaven. No boys and girls or mums and dads sick in heaven. My, we're told there is no sadness in heaven. There is no death. There is no night. Heaven will be a place of eternal joy. Think of that. The Bible speaks of those in heaven, and this is what it says. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor crying, neither pain. That wonderful? That's how special heaven is. Can you imagine what heaven must be like? What a place it must be. It's a wonderful place. Boys and girls, I want you to think about this. As heaven is such a wonderful place, this leads us to our second question. The question is this. Why did Jesus leave heaven? Why did he come into this old sinful world? Can anybody answer that question for me? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ leave the glory and the wonder and the splendor of heaven? Why did he come into this world? Who can tell me? Timothy. That's right. He came to save sinners. That's why the Lord left the glory and the splendor of heaven. And now the Bible tells us that he left heaven because God, listen, God the Father sent him. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ came down from the glory of heaven to this earth because God the Father sent him. Something else, boys and girls. Another reason, the Bible says this, he came so that we could have everlasting life. Life that never ends. Listen to the second part of that great verse of John 3, verse 16. It says this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Imagine that. As Timothy has already said, boys and girls, he came to save us, you and I, from our sins. Remember what the angel said to Joseph about the coming of the Lord? He said this, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But there's another reason as well why Jesus came, and he came to show God's love to us. He came to show us how much God loved us. The Bible says this, and this was manifest the love of God, because that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. How can you and I, boys and girls and mums and dads, know that God loves us? It's because of this. God sent his Son, his only Son, into this world. And he also came, the Bible says, to be the Savior of the world. The Bible says the Father sent the Son to be the Savior, it says, of the world. That's why Jesus Christ has come. Hands up, boys and girls, have you ever moved house? Anybody ever moved house? Some of you have, yes. You put your hand down. Anybody here ever moved school? Sure some of the older ones have, haven't you? Maybe went on from primary school to secondary school or whatever. And I'm sure, boys and girls, when you move house, there's excitement, or move school, there's excitement. You're going to make new friends. But I'm sure there's also sadness if you leave a house or leave an old school. You're leaving behind old friends. I wonder, boys and girls, have you ever thought what it meant for the Lord Jesus Christ to leave heaven and to be born in Bethlehem? Have you ever thought about that? Boys and girls, he had to leave behind all the glory of heaven. When Jesus came to this earth, was born in Bethlehem. He left behind all the glory and the splendor of heaven. And then we're told on this earth he lived in a body, just like our body. The only thing different was his body was without sin. The Bible says Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. We're told also that he came to be a servant. There's many servants in the world, but the greatest of servants was the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told that he humbled himself. Imagine that, the great creator who made the world. He humbles himself before man, even here in this scene of time. And boys and girls, the Lord Jesus Christ knew what it was to walk. He knew what it was to sleep, to eat, to be tired. You read of them in John chapter 4 that he was wearied with his journey. And he knew what it was to shed tears, just like you and I. You read of them at a friend, at a friend's house, and we read of him weeping. Read of the Lord Jesus Christ shedding tears. And then the Bible tells us this about him. When he came to this earth, that he was hated by men. Imagine that. The lovely, sinless Son of God hated by men. He was mocked by men. He was ridiculed by men. He was rejected by men. He was spat upon by men. He was persecuted by men. And then the Bible tells us sinful men crucified him and nailed him to the cross of Calvary. And there he shed his blood. And there he died. And boys and girls, he allowed all these things to happen to him. Why? Because he knew it was only through his death, not only through his sacrifice alone, that a way could be made for you and I to be saved from our sins, and for you and I to go one day into this wonderful place called heaven. The Bible says of Christ, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That tells us that we can only be saved from our sins through the sacrifice of Christ alone upon the cross. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that verse tells us that you and I can only have eternal life in heaven through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, boys and girls, is the answer to the question, why did Jesus leave heaven? But you know, there's a third question this morning. And the question is this. It's spelled three letters, H-O-W. What is that question? What's that word? Yes, Sarah? How? That's a very important question. Just three letters. Very, very important question, you know. And the question is this. What do you think? How could the Lord Jesus be the only Savior and no one else could be our Savior? You think about that. How could the Lord Jesus Christ be the only Savior and no one else be your Savior? Would somebody like to answer that question? Maybe some of the teenagers here, a bit shy. Have you ever thought about that? Chloe? He was perfect, is right. And boys and girls, that's true. Boys and girls, he could be our only Savior because the Lord Jesus Christ was different. I want you to think about this now. He was different from every other person who ever lived on earth. How was the Lord Jesus Christ different from you and I? How was he different from every other baby that has been born on earth and been born in this scene of time? You see, you and I, every one of us in this meeting this morning, we all have an earthly father. And we all have an earthly mother. But the Bible tells us this about the Lord Jesus Christ. That he had a heavenly father. I want you to remember that. That makes him different. And he had, yes, an earthly mother. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, it was read for us already today, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And my, whenever the angel told Mary that she was to have a son, he told her that God the Father was sending his son into this earth to be born in a human body. And the Bible tells us how Mary was chosen to be the mother of the Lord Jesus, the baby Jesus. And this miracle was performed by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 35. I'll read it to you. It says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. My, when the Lord Jesus took on a human body like ours, the Bible tells us He was perfect God. And he was perfect man. And because the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect God and because he was perfect man, he and he alone could be our Savior. If you like, we could say he had, only him had the qualifications to be our Savior. You see, the Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And boys and girls, this leads us to our final question this morning. Question number 4 is this. Who can tell me what this question is? Rachel? What? That's right. What, you're sleeping? It's just 4 letters. W-H-A-T. What? I want you to think about this final question. The question is this. I want you to think. What makes the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ so important? I should have asked that question to some of the older folk in the meeting. Got them to waken up as well. But you know, there are really 3 reasons, boys and girls, why his birth is so, so important. Suppose the Lord Jesus Christ had never come to this earth. I want you to think about, suppose the Lord Jesus Christ had never come, would we have a Savior from sin? The answer is no. Suppose the Lord Jesus Christ had never come, would we have a hope of being saved from our sin and hell and be sure of going to heaven one day? The answer is no. Suppose the Lord Jesus Christ had never come, would we really ever know how much God loved us? And again, the answer is no. But praise God today, and this is what we remember especially at Christmas, and thank God for, the Lord Jesus Christ has come. Because he has come and because he was born in Bethlehem, we have a Savior from sins. The Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. We have a hope of going to heaven one day. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we can know how much God loves us. Maybe there's a boy and girl, a young person, an older person. Maybe you're wondering today, does God love me? Does he really love me? And the promise and the proof of his love toward you is this. In Romans 5 verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that wonderful? You know, boys and girls, as we just close and bring our meeting to a close, the first question was this. Where was Jesus Christ before he was born? Hands up, who can tell me? Yes, Jenny. He was in heaven, that is right. Our second question is this. Boys and girls, why did he come? Any of the teenagers like to tell me? Why did he come? Jordan, to save us from our sins is right. Boys and girls, how was the Lord Jesus Christ different from you and I? Who can tell me that? Leah, he was perfect. He was God's perfect son. He was perfect God and perfect man. And then, boys and girls, our final question is this. What makes the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ so important? Why? Who can tell me here? Any of the bigger ones? Who can tell me? William? Why is it so important? Well, I'll answer that question for you. Because of him coming, you and I have a Savior from sin. Isn't that wonderful? That's God's gift to us. A Savior from sin. And the important thing is this, boys and girls, as we come to an end, and mums and dads, young people, I want to ask you a question, a personal question, and it is this. Have you ever thanked God in your heart for sending his Son to be your Savior? Not only have you ever thanked him for coming to be your Savior, but have you ever asked him or trusted him to become your Savior from sin? That's the all-important thing. It's good to hear about Christ and sing about Christ and sing the lovely Christmas carols and hymns about Christ. But as we close this morning, have you ever personally in your heart Thank God for sending His Son to be your Savior. Have you ever asked the Lord, trusted the Lord, called upon Him to become your Savior? That's how you become a Christian. That's how you obtain heaven. That's how you are saved from your sins and saved from a lost eternity. By simply coming, confessing your sins to the Lord, thanking the Lord for coming and dying for you upon the cross, and asking Him to be your Savior. The Bible says, listen, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Wouldn't it be wonderful today in this first of our Christmas family services that today maybe a boy or girl, maybe a young person, maybe a mum or a dad or a granny or a granddad, you in the quietness of your heart in the closing moments of this meeting, thank the Lord for dying for you and ask the Lord by faith into your heart to become your Savior. We're just going to bow together in a word of